Before Tommy starts my time, I want to tell you how much I appreciate all of you coming. For one of my discussions, this is a pretty good crowd. I wanted to read a verse to you about the baby. Try to explain to you why John and I are doing this. There are a number of passages I can read, but tonight I'd like to read for you Acts 19. Verses 8 through 10. I'm reading from the old King James Version. You see the word dispute or disputing is pretty much like our word debate today. Talking about Paul, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the faith concerning the kingdom of God. So Paul was disputing. But when divers were hardened, believed not, but spake evil that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated his disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul evidently disputed regularly, daily, for 2 whole years. Some think maybe Tommy and I do a lot of debating, but we don't do near as much as what Paul did. And the reason he did it was to try to hold the truth and try to reach people with what he believed to be the truth. And that's the reason he did it. Before I start, I'd like to mention to everybody, you can't find a nicer person to have a public discussion with than John, can you? John, you act as a perfect gentleman. I appreciate that.
Amen.
As John and I were talking before him, when you have a debate like this, it's a doctrinal difference, not a personal difference.
That's right.
So there's no reason to be ugly with one another
at
all.
Right.
All we're doing is study the Bible. It's like a sermon, except in this case, both sides get to be presented.
Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you for coming.
Amen.
All right, Tommy, start my time. John began with Genesis 2, 1 through 3, and asked the question, who made the Sabbath? And he said, Jesus. And I certainly won't dispute that. Matter of fact, I agree with it. But also, if you look at Genesis 4, verse 4, and many other places in the Old Testament, you'll see that the Bible talks about animal sacrifices. And I'll suggest to you that God, Jesus, made the requirement for animal sacrifices. So by the logic that says that Jesus made the Sabbath, if that means it's still binding today because of Genesis 2, 2 through 3, then that same logic, since we see God requiring animal sacrifices beginning in Genesis chapter 4, 4, that would prove, by John's logic, that that we still have to do animal sacrifices today because God made that too, or made that requirement. And then John said that God blessed the Sabbath. And he did. Genesis 2, 2 through 3 suggests that he did. I happen to believe that that is a note written by the author of Genesis, Moses, later. And so that he blessed it later, not right then, but it doesn't make any difference. And so notice Genesis 39, verse 5, and we can... Was it on to start with?
Yes.
I think we can turn to discover time. We can turn to many passages where it says God blessed them. But here's one for example. Genesis chapter 39, verse 5 says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Remember Joseph in Potiphar's house? God blessed that, but that doesn't mean that Potiphar's house still exists today or has anything to do with the New Covenant law, John. So just because God blessed something in the Old Testament doesn't necessarily mean it still continues on today. And then John brought up Mark 2, verse 27. Says in Mark 2:27 that the Sabbath was made for man. And that's true. But it wouldn't necessarily, John, mean that that's still binding today. All of God's laws were made for man's benefit. When it says the Sabbath was made for man, it's simply saying that the Sabbath was made for man's benefit, not vice versa, not the other way around. For example, the command of Noah to build an ark was made for man, for man's benefit. That doesn't mean that we all need to go out and build an ark today. The law of circumcision was made for man. Just like the Sabbath. That doesn't necessarily mean we all need to be circumcised, or us males need to be circumcised today. So just because something was made for man doesn't necessarily mean that it's still binding today. Else, we all need to build an ark. Else, all of us men have to be circumcised religiously. Now I want you to notice a couple of passages down at the bottom of this chart. The Sabbath law was only for the Jews. Now John said it was for the Gentiles, but he's wrong about that. He's incorrect. As a matter of fact, if you'd like to turn to Ezekiel, he turned to Ezekiel in his speech, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 20. It says, "And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." And he used that to try to prove that we still have to keep the Sabbath today. But did you notice verses 10 and 12 of the same chapter? It says, "I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them." So who is this talking about? God made a sign between him and who with the Sabbath? The Sabbath would be a sign between himself and who? The ones that he calls forth to go out of the land of Egypt. That's not your ancestors, John. It's not my ancestors either. And notice the same thing we can say in Deuteronomy 5:15. "Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence. Therefore the Lord commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Now notice he says, you are a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out. Therefore the Lord commanded thee to keep the Sabbath. Why did he command them to keep the Sabbath? Because he brought them out of Egypt. That only applied to the Jews. It doesn't apply to any of us Gentiles, John. Our ancestors were never in slavery in Egypt. We're never brought out of slavery in Egypt by the Lord. This is talking specifically to the Jews, the people he brought out of Egypt. He said, "I brought you out of Egypt, therefore I gave you the Sabbath as a sign." I think that's pretty clear. But if it's not, I'll go over it again next time. And then he brought up, John did, my friend, Genesis 26, verse 5, where it said Abraham kept the Sabbath. Or he said it said that. Actually, it didn't say that. It said Abraham kept God's statutes and commandments. Whatever commandments and statutes were applicable to him, he had to keep. It's assuming the very point to assume the Sabbath was one of those, John, because it didn't say he was told to keep the Sabbath. That brings up an interesting point, which John brought up. When was the Sabbath actually given the first time? It wasn't given until long after Abraham. I'm not going to read all of these passages, but let's look at the first two. Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 3, and verse 12. It says that Moses called all Israel and said unto him, "The statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb," okay, Mount Sinai. "The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all here alive this day. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God has commanded it." So he says, "I made a covenant with you at Mount Sinai. I didn't make it with your fathers. And that covenant included the command to keep the Sabbath." Notice he said he didn't make the covenant with the fathers. He didn't bind the Sabbath day on people before that time. Now notice Nehemiah 9, 13 to 14. "Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses." Now, isn't that pretty clear that they didn't have the Sabbath law as a requirement until Mount Sinai? He said, "You came down from Mount Sinai, and I made known, you made known unto them thy holy Sabbath." They didn't know it before that. You'll never find the Israelites, or anybody, commanded to keep the Sabbath before, I believe it's Exodus 16, when they were supposed to gather the manna. You remember that? Gather the manna. They were to gather every day when they were in the wilderness, and twice as much on the sixth day, so they didn't have to gather on the seventh. That's the first time anybody in the Bible, Exodus 16, is ever commanded to keep the Sabbath. And then John said, Exodus 20, verse 8, Exodus 20, verse 8. The Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath, was one of the Ten Commandments. Let's look at an interesting passage in Romans chapter 7, 4 through 7. I'm going to suggest something to you. Hopefully it won't shock you too much to start with, but bear with me. We're not under the Ten Commandment law anymore today. Okay? Yes, the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments, but we're not under the Ten Commandment law. We're under the New Testament law. Yes, the New Testament has plenty of laws like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and so forth. We're not under the Ten Commandment law, and I'm going to prove that to you. Look at Romans 7, 4 through 7. We'll read verses 4 through 7. It says, "Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And then down verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now I want you to notice verses 4 and 6 says that we're dead to the law, we're delivered from the law. And you said to Adventist people here, Haley, you may be thinking, well, this is talking about the ceremonial law. We're dead to the ceremonial law. We're delivered from the ceremonial law. Now, this is not talking about what you call the ceremonial law, because notice in verse 7, he says, nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Where is that law, thou shalt not covet? It's one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? So the law he's talking about here includes the Ten Commandment law, and he says we're dead to it, we're delivered from it. So in conclusion, at the bottom of my chart, we are dead to and delivered from the law that includes the commandment, thou shalt not covet, which is one of the Ten Commandments. Again, let me hasten to add, the reason it's wrong to kill and to steal and to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife is because the New Testament says that's wrong. The Old Testament, including the Ten Commandments, and the laws about circumcision and the animal sacrifices, all of those have been done away. We're dead to and delivered from those. We've been delivered from them. And then let's look at chart number 17 on Colossians 2, which specifically mentions the Sabbath. That passage reads, Colossians 2, 14 through 17, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, I want you to notice what Paul is saying here. What was done with these ordinances, these God-ordained laws? They were blotted out, they were taken out of the way, and they were nailed to the cross. Does that sound like he's talking about something that we still have to keep today? Not if they were blotted out, taken out of the way, and nailed to the cross. Certainly not. These are not laws that we have to keep today. What does this mean? What's the conclusion that Paul draws from this? He says, let no man therefore judge you with respect to these laws, these ordinances, these God-ordained laws. In other words, nobody can say that you're sinning when you don't abide by these laws anymore. Let no man therefore judge you with respect to these, because Jesus blotted them out, took them out of the way, and nailed them to the cross. Now we have examples. These are, basically, I think of these as just samples. He gives four categories of these laws that have been blotted out. The daily, that's called the meat and the drink offerings. They had to do that every day. The yearly, he calls that the holy days in verse 16. The holy days, that's the seven feasts, like Passover, Pentecost, so forth. There were seven of them. Then the monthly, that's the new moon. And then the weekly, that's the only thing left, 9 minutes, the Sabbath. See, he's giving a broad range. He's saying, these things are no longer binding anymore. Jesus nailed them to the cross. Took them out of the way. Blotted them out. He says, the daily, the yearly, the monthly, and the weekly. They're all gone. It specifically mentions the Sabbath as no longer being binding. And then I want to show you a passage. Though it doesn't specifically mention the Sabbath, because I consider it to be parallel to that, because the language is just so similar, I wanted you to see it. Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. Talking about Jesus, it says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You see the similar language? For to make himself a twain, or two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What Paul is talking about here is he's basically saying that old law, the law of Moses, separated Jew and Gentile because the Jews were amenable to that law and the Gentiles were. As far as I know, they were still under the patriarchal law all that time. As long as you had a law that one group of people was amenable to, responsible to obey, but not the Gentiles, then that separated the people. But when Paul is saying that when Jesus nailed that law to the cross, when he abolished it, and the all Jew and Gentile, in black and white I might add, came together under one law, the New Testament law, then there's no more separation. He took away that middle wall of partition there, that law. He abolished it. And that's the law. That contains all of the law, including the Ten Commandments. And then my friend John brought up a stranger and said, and this goes back to where the Gentiles amenable to the law of the Sabbath. He said they were. And he used a passage to talk about strangers. As it mentions in Deuteronomy 14, verse 21, the stranger within thy gates is contrasted with the alien, though, John. I think maybe you're misunderstanding who the stranger is. This verse says, thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates, that he may eat it, or thou mayest sell it unto the alien. Do you see the contrast between the stranger and the alien? Alan may correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the stranger will assume that it's somebody who might have been a Jew, yes, but maybe he converted over, or he chose to live with the Jews. He was a proselyte. So yes, he was amenable to the Jewish law as he came proselyted over, chose to live with them. He had to keep the Sabbath, that's right. But that stands in contrast to the alien, Romans 2:14 says, the Gentiles which have not the law. The Gentiles over in Yugoslavia, they didn't have to obey the law. They weren't amenable to the law. The ones that didn't proselytize. It is true that the stranger, I assume that's the Jewish convert, one that came over from being a Gentile. It is true the stranger had to keep the Sabbath. But did you know? For example, look at Leviticus. Gary, turn and read that for us. Leviticus 17, verse 8, and Isaiah 56. The strangers also had to offer animal sacrifices for sin. Also, the stranger had to keep the Passover. Also, the stranger had to be circumcised. The stranger had to observe and do all the words of this law, Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. The stranger had to do all those things. And so, John, if the stranger has to keep the Sabbath, then he also has to do animal sacrifices for sin. I mean, excuse me. Here, read that for us. Genesis. You don't have an Old Testament?
I have the New King James. That's right.
I hope so. Genesis. And Leviticus 17, 8. Did I give you the wrong passage?
Leviticus 17, verse 8. The New King James reads, also you shall say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who dwell among you, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice, and does not offer it at the door of the tabernacle meeting where the first time.
Do you see that it said the stranger had to offer the burnt sacrifice? So John, if your logic is true that if a stranger had to keep the Sabbath, if that means the Sabbath is still binding today, then John, by that logic, that would prove that we have to keep animal sacrifices today, keep the Passover today, that males have to be circumcised today, because the stranger, that is the Jew, the Gentile that converted over to Judaism, had to keep all of those things. Do you understand my point, John? Okay, good. That way you can respond to it in your next speech. Don't respond to it now in your next speech. And then John brought up Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23. It talks about in the new earth. Well, I suppose I should just read that. In the new earth, from one new moon to another and one Sabbath to another. Should have it on the chart. It shall come to, and as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now John says that proves that we're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven. And if we're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven, it only makes sense that we're going to have to keep the Sabbath now. Well, first of all, John, you'll remember from Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, that there's going to be, there are marriages now, but there's going to be no marriage in heaven. So just because something is true in heaven doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same today. Now let's look at that passage in a little more detail, John. It says, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, and you say that proves that we've got to keep the Sabbath today. Why doesn't that prove we have to keep the new moon feast today? The new moons, the once a month things. Wouldn't by your reasoning, wouldn't that prove we have to keep the new moon if it proves we have to keep the Sabbath? Because it mentions them both, the new moon and the Sabbath. And also look down at verse 20. Isaiah 66 verse 20 says, they shall bring all of your brethren for an offering to the Lord. And then at the end of verse 20, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Does that prove that we're going to have to bring the offering of a clean vessel into the house of the Lord today? Why do you take the Sabbath out of that text and say it's still binding today, but not the offering or the new moon, John? Appreciate you considering that. And then John brought up Isaiah 42, verse 21, the Lord will magnify the law. Isaiah 42, 21. Well, first of all, I'm not so sure that's talking about Jesus. It may or may not be a prophecy concerning Jesus, but be that as it may, if that makes the Sabbath binding today, then that would make the whole law binding today. Because it said he will magnify the law, not just the Ten Commandments, not just the Sabbath, but he will magnify the law. So if that means The fact that he's going to magnify the law means the Sabbath is still binding today. What about the other parts of the law, John, like animal sacrifices and circumcision? You know, Jesus, like I said, I don't know that that passage is talking about Jesus, but supposing it is, Jesus did magnify the old law when he came. He fulfilled it. He kept it perfectly. He fulfilled the prophecy. He magnified that law. But it doesn't mean that we're supposed to keep it today. Also, Jesus, when he came, magnified the new law by ushering in the new law, the new covenant. So he did. Jesus did magnify the law, but I don't know what that has to do with the Sabbath being binding today any more than it has to do with animal sacrifices still being binding today, the fact that he magnified the law. Because the law contained the Sabbath and animal sacrifices and circumcision, for example. How much time, Tom?
120.
And then John, and I appreciate John going through these arguments. Notice that he is making some arguments from some passages, including this argument from Matthew 5, 17 and 18. This is a passage used on both sides of this question. I want you to know what, notice what it says, though. If you look at it carefully, it's not saying the law or the Sabbath is still going on today. Verse 17, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now remember that. What did Jesus come to do? Fulfill the law. John, do you think he did fulfill the law before he left? He said he came to fulfill it. You agree with me that he did. He was successful, right? He fulfilled it. Now notice verse 18. Till heaven and earth pass, or as the parallel says in Luke 16, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He's saying that law would not pass till it's fulfilled in verse 18. What had he just got through saying in verse 17? That he came to fulfill it. And John agrees with me that he was successful in that. By the time he died and was buried and rose and ascended up to heaven, he had fulfilled that law. And since he had fulfilled it, he said it would not pass till it was fulfilled. Then logically, that implies that it passed once it was fulfilled. Thank you very much for your time.